tell you that, but they're definitely thinner. So, no, I'm a type 2. I'm one of those fat-bellied people that you see. That's me. And I believe I had it 10 years before I found out that I had it. That's what I think.
What do you believe was your age of onset, and what were your first symptoms?
I didn't have any symptoms. It was in the 40s. I was in my 40s, I think, when I started to get it. Probably with my 40s, yeah.
Okay. If you didn't have any symptoms, how did you know at age 40 you had it?
I'm thinking about it. That's why. I because when I was diagnosed with it, I showed all the earmarks of having had it for a long time. That's why. I'm just taking a guess that it was in my... I'm diagnosed in my 50s. But I think I had it from my 40s. I'm pretty sure.
You said you had all the earmarks. What were those earmarks?
Urinating a little too much. You know, the symptoms. Just mild symptoms.
Frequent thirst?
Stuff like that, yeah. I think that's, I think those...
Repeater, timeout. Repeater, timeout. Cancel.
What do you believe was your weight at that time?
About 160.
And I guess for you that's a high number. You'd like to run more like 145?
Exactly, yeah, that's true. Now I'm 5'9", and most people would tell you at 5'9", 160 is a very normal weight. I beg to differ. I don't agree with them.
Yeah, they call it normal these days, meaning a lot of people are there. That doesn't necessarily make it desirable.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't agree with any of these people. Everybody I know has diabetes. It's amazing how many people have it. My whole family. Except my father's side, he never had it. My mother's side, they all got it on my mother's side. Every one of them. So I can, and they all died young. They died in their 60s, and diabetes was a reason, you know.
Did they not properly take care of it? Is that due to a lack of knowledge at the time and lack of proper pharmaceuticals? And did they also suffer from lack of energy?
I don't know about the lack of energy. I can't remember. I just can't remember. But my mother made it to 94, I'm happy to say, because she was a very careful eater. She was a little overweight, but she made it to 94. And a lot of that is the fact that she used to get out and walk with my father on the beach 8-10 miles a day. So, you know, that exercise must have helped her.
Absolutely.
Repeater, time out.
So your other relatives, what, her sister and aunt, are these the ones that died young on the mother's side?
In their 50s, in their 60s. I have one aunt who is now in her 80s, thereabouts. She's in her 80s. She's still alive, God bless her. She does not have diabetes.
The ones that died in their 50s and 60s, at the end, what was their life like?
Terrible. I don't even want to think about it. Needles, if they did take needles, some didn't, but, you know, they, with the limbs and the bad circulation. What is the correlation between diabetes and bad blood circulation, by the way? I don't understand that.
That one I don't understand either. And quite often, the diabetes causes retina damage, kidney damage, liver damage, and lower leg water retention, and lack of feeling in the feet. Things like that are some of the symptoms.
Yeah. I thank God have none of that. Ain't that great? I figured it out. I'm going to be the healthiest guy in the graveyard.
Yeah, and how does lower leg circulation suffer from it? That's a tough one. I'm guessing the arteries lose elasticity.
Repeater, time out.
Just don't understand it, but I know it's real. I do know it's real. Everybody I know who has diabetes, except me, thank God, everybody else has bad blood circulation, bad feeling in the limbs, the fingers, and the toes, if they still got them, you know.
Have they lost more than just the lower limbs?
Think about that. No. Nobody I know, except you know who, lost lower limbs. Other people are just getting, they take better care of themselves. They do. The other ones that have diabetes. And they're suffering from the diabetes, but they're not having any indications. I think they're a little more careful than that.
But did they have partial failure of retina, kidney, and liver?
Yes, yes, and yes, they do.
So retina damage, did they also have glaucoma and cataracts?
Let me think about the cataracts. Only Richie has the cataract problem. The other ones don't tell me about that. If they do, they don't mention it.
Yeah, I've never heard Richie talk about cataracts. You're saying he's had that diagnosis?
Yeah, well, you know, sometimes people blame their illness on the wrong thing. Richie needs glasses. So do I. You know what I mean?
I don't remember seeing you with glasses, but maybe I've got a poor memory.
Yeah, well, maybe you got bad eyesight. You didn't see me.
Repeater, time out.
You do or don't wear glasses, and how often? Go ahead.
I only wear glasses during the daytime. I don't wear glasses. I wear when I'm driving. And it's not that bad. Sometimes I could forget to put the glasses on. But right now, in the dark, at night, I put them on. It helps a little bit. Not much, just a little bit.
Are you nearsighted, or do you have astigmatism?
Can't see at a distance, that's all. But I do, I see at a distance, but it's a little bit of a strain. You know, it isn't really that bad. I don't really suffer. As they say, sometimes I get in the car, I start driving, and I forget to put my glasses on. I realize after a couple of miles I didn't put them on. So it ain't that bad.
Sounds like the glasses are pretty mild. They're almost flat pieces of glass, like a half a diopter.
Yeah, yeah.
And your glasses, do they have any astigmatism correction, or is it only spherical correction?
I think it's only because I can't focus things at a distance. That's it. Nothing else.
Yeah, the focus at a distance, they call it the spherical correction. The astigmatism, they call it the cylindrical correction, if you want to use the right words.
I don't know the terms. But I do know, if I wanted to, I'm desperately afraid of it, but that eye surgery stuff would probably correct it beautifully, but I don't want to do that. It's not worth it.
I'm with you. Yeah, they call that LASIK surgery. I really don't like the sound of that.
You know, there's got to be a better way. I'm not doing it.
And I'm willing to wear glasses.
Repeater, time out.
I don't think I would enjoy contact lenses.
Oh, I can't. I cannot wear contact lenses. My daughter, she wears contact lenses, but she's a girl and she's young, and I guess. You know, appearance is everything to that age, but I could not do that. I really could not do that. Those things are dangerous.
Not only that, but my eyes are super sensitive. I really don't want to put anything in my eye. It's very difficult for me to put an eye drop in my eye.
Yeah, I know exactly how you feel, and I think my eyes would be that way. but I don't, thank goodness I don't have a way to test it, and I'm not gonna.
Yeah, when you get an eye examination and they give you eye drops to dilate, that's a difficult thing for me. And because I did temporarily have glaucoma, high eye pressure, I was taking eye drops for that. And to get those eye drops into my eye was very difficult. And I got a really crazy reaction. At the instant the drop of fluid touches my eye, for the next couple of seconds, I hear a rumbling sound in my head. And it happens on both the left eye and the right eye. KQIW.
Yeah. Speaking of rumbling, I think we had a little lightning early this morning. Right now we have fog. Very strong fog.
Like visibility of a quarter of a mile?
It's not that bad. Well, maybe it is. I'm looking in from the distance. Yeah, it could be. Yeah. I think it's a little lighter than normal. In other words, it's not as bad a fog as we have had. But...
Repeater, timeout. Repeater, timeout. Cancel.
Around my house, I was out there a little while ago dumping the garbage, and I can tell we've had some light drizzle. Has it been drizzling where you are?
Yes, and that's unusual. Usually fog and drizzle don't go together. Oh, God, these lights are terrible. Fog and drizzle do not go together. Usually once you get the drizzle, the fog dissipates. Didn't happen this morning.
Nothing weather, W2FDG Mobile.
The station just came in. I did not hear you. Say it again. This is N2MB.
Morning, Barry. Morning, Dick. It's Neil, W2NDG. Setting out on a early morning drive upstate. And yes, I agree with you. Not good driving weather.
Was foggy upstate? Or am I imagining that?
Starting out, I'm in Huntington. It's nasty here, too.
Where are you going?
Kingston, New York. Where I hail from.
Okay, you said Peekskill, New York, where I have A, and then I lost you. Peekskill, New York is a favorite destination for me. I love going upstate, right through Peekskill and on into the Catskills.
I'll bet you he said Kingston. Go ahead, Neil.
Roger, Dick. Kingston, the first capital of New York.
Okay, Kingston. Yeah, I see that stop on the thruway. I think there's even a place to get coffee when you reach Kingston.
So, they became even big enough to get a Starbucks a few years back. Kingston's an interesting little town.
Repeater, timeout. Repeater, timeout. Cancel.
I don't think you could use that stuff for landfill. It's horrible.
For a little while. Contacts are something for the young, by the way. I wore them up to a certain age, and then I could not do any more. Found that sitting in front of a computer a lot of the day made it difficult to wear contacts.
In your youth, what was it like in Kingston, Neil? What do they do there?
Well, I mean, where I grew up, in my neighborhood, I grew up in a little piece of Woodstock, where everybody goes to school in Kingston, and 95% of our neighbors all work for IBM. We had a very large programming, engineering, and administrative IBM center in Kingston. And it's interesting to watch the towns up there that had IBM morph into blue-collar towns from white-collar towns. So, but back then it was IBM, that's where everybody worked, except for my father, who owned his own business.
Mark was selling sandwiches to the IBM people.
Nothing that ordinary. My father sold dental supplies. We owned a dental supply company up until the early 90s, and then we sold it to Henry Schein.
Did your father made sure all those people at IBM had bright smiles.
You said you lived in Woodstock. Were you living in Woodstock during that big event of 1969?
might remind you, Dick, that event never took place in Woodstock.
So I lived, yes, my family lived in Woodstock during the festival in 1969. I was 4 years old. I remember my father complaining about traffic. But yes, the event was in Sullivan County in Bethel, New York. Was named for Woodstock because Woodstock was the colony of the arts and home to a lot of famous musicians. They wanted to have it in Woodstock, but they couldn't find anyone that would host it. So that was the best they could do. But I grew up knowing a lot of local musicians and seeing them just hanging out in places and actually getting to know one or two through music as I got older. So it was definitely an interesting place to grow up. But we used to wear t-shirts when I was in high school. They showed a map of the Hudson Valley and had an arrow pointing to Woodstock. It said, "You are here." And then there was another arrow pointing down to where Bethel is that said, "Festival was here. Now please leave me alone."
Yeah, the thing about Woodstock, they had, wait a second, I got a traffic call. Let me buy that.
Bethel is how many miles from Woodstock, Neil?
40-ish, in the 40 to 50 mile range. The festival was held in what a lot of people refer to as the Catskills down here, which people from Woodstock call the Southern Catskills. They feel that they actually live in the Catskills, and what we call the Catskills isn't.
Woodstock was held in the Jewish Alps, and I've been in the real town where they had it, but I didn't go during Woodstock. I was not going to go to Woodstock. I still wouldn't go to Woodstock. I was not that kind of guy.
Are both of these towns essentially along Route 17?
Not at all. Woodstock, New York proper is right off of Exit 19 on the thruway, which is the Kingston exit. You get off there and there is a Route 28, which is a large C-shaped New York State route that starts in Kingston, New York, and looks like a giant letter C and goes west and then northwest and then north and then northeast and then eventually curves back down south again and ends up in Warrensburg, New York, up north of Saratoga. And 8 miles out of Kingston is Woodstock, up into the mountains there. Very close to the Hudson River.
Okay, then what do you do to get to Bethel? If I'm in Woodstock and I want to go to Bethel, do I go northwest 40 miles?
South of Woodstock. So the way we would normally go would be to hop on the thruway, go down to the Newburgh area, and head out towards Route 17 that way. There is also a very interesting shortcut that takes you directly through the mountains, which is a really cool drive.
Name some of the nearest towns in Bethel that I might recognize.
Reef, Monticello.
How close have you come to Bethel, Barry?
Been in those towns, all of them. There's an orphan home, of all things, up there that my father grew up in. So every time I head for the country, I go through that area and I remember that. When I was a kid, he used to go back and visit the orphan home with his kids, namely me and my sister. So I'm very familiar with the area. It's very pretty and very rural. It's a nice place to live, I'm telling you.
Your sister lives in what area now, Barry?
Wait a minute, I'm running into road problems. I'll be back in a minute. A new route. I take a lot of new routes. tonight I'm taking the new one, so that's why I seem so confused. Well, it's part of the reason, but that's the biggest.
Is your sister older or younger, and where does she live, Barry?
She still lives in Smithtown. As you can see, my GPS is barking at me. She lives in Smithtown, and she is about 6 years older than I.
And I used to live in Smithtown.
Huh. Okay. Where in Smithtown does she live? I forget the name of the street, but it'll come to me. I know how to get there, but I can't remember the name of the street.
I used to live on Brookside Drive in Smithtown.
Hold on. Big twins and stuff. Hold on. I'm going to join you guys in a couple of seconds. This is a very unfamiliar road to me, so, Dunkin' Donuts, that's dangerous. Okay, I'll be back in a minute in 2MB. Still navigating, so I'll be back in a minute in 2MB. The bleep is on.
Does your sister live in Smithtown, north or south of Jericho Turnpike, Main Street?
I don't know. I just know how to get there. I'm not sure. I think she's south of Smithtown, south and a little west, but I'm not sure.
Is she north of 347, the Smithtown bypass?
The Smithtown bypass is very close to her house. I get on it when I leave her house, so she's near the Smithtown bypass. I get on it. I have to use it to get home.
Okay. Brookside Drive is where I used to live. It falls into that category. Route 111 is another one. Either of these sound familiar?
No, not at all. Her house is relatively new. Well, it was built 40 years ago. I guess that's kind of... It's a new house. It's a nice lot of land and all that stuff. She's got about an acre, which ain't bad for that area.
Yeah, quite a few of the residential houses in that area have an acre of land under them. The little house that I was renting on Brookside Drive was on an acre of land.
Okay. Oh, look at this. Straight ahead is my destination. I've never been this way before. I'm going to do this next time. I wish I could figure out how to do this on the way home.
For 4.5 years, I was living in a rental house, and I put 60 feet of row number 6 on that property with the landlord's permission.
Very cool. Okay, I got to get back to the driving. This is totally new to me, so I don't want to screw it up. I'll be back in a few minutes. I've only got about 1.5 miles to go, so I'll join you in about a couple miles at 2MB.
So I ran out of string. So back to W2MDG.
Interesting road, I'm telling you. If I can figure out how to do this again, I might take it home.
Did I ever tell you the story of the next door neighbor's television aerial on my tower?
No, but it sounds like you're appeasing him.
Not necessarily. That area was in a little bit of the bottom of a bowl, television reception with an aerial on the roof was kind of yucky. With 60 feet of tower, my television aerial up there gave me beautiful reception. Next door neighbor had snowy picture. I offered to let him put his television aerial on a yard arm off the side of my tower and the twin lead with a messenger, a guy wire, went over to his house. He had beautiful television reception. I was there for 4.5 years. He used to come home every noon hour and the two of them would watch a particular soap opera. I moved away, put the television aerial back on the chimney of his house. He had a very snowy picture. He couldn't come home and watch the soap operas with his wife anymore. And within half a year, they were divorced.
Okay. Okay, I gotta really had to figure out how to get out of here, so I'll join you in a minute. I'm right by Mercy Hospital, but I've got to get off this road. There's too many signs. No this way, no that way. I don't like this stuff.
Okay, bye.
Okay, okay, real good. Yeah, I really have to figure out how to get... Oh, look at this. I think I figured out how to get out of here. I'm not sure. I hope so.
Well, I'm on the northern now. And now it's not nice out. W2NDG.
Yes, I'm going to sign out W2NDG. I think take left already. This is N2NB. I'm at my destination, and I'm going in. Sounds like a military term. And I'll see you a little later. N2NB.
All right. Don't be here till I get over to Fort Lee. And then things get a little dicey. Have a good day. W2NDG Mobile is listening. W2NDG Mobile.
WD2MLP, K2MIT.
Net tonight at 8:30, W2VL, repeater system.
W2NDG Mobile.
Good morning, KC2KXK.
KC2KXK. W2NDG. Neil here. In surprisingly heavy traffic for 6 a.m.
Yeah, definitely. I'm on Long Island Expressway. I'm just on the service road right now, about to get to the Cross Island and into LaGuardia.
I'm just going under Glen Cove Road here, heading in your direction. I'm going north once I get to the Cross Island. Yeah, I'm kind of surprised. I guess it's the weather. So, this is early for me. I think I would not be heading out the door for another 45 minutes normally.
On the Cross Island here, so you're gonna have to just bear with me. I'm slightly handicapped, so gotta use both hands sometimes. It's gonna be kind of intense driving here. So just get on the Cross Island, and the on ramp coming off the Alley is not too bad, but you can't take the exit before that, exit 32. It kind of cuts you in front of everybody. It's kind of nice. Anyway, I gotta merge over here. I'll be with you. Okay, okay.
Alright. I'll be here. It's stop and go.
Alright. Sounds good. And Cross Island's moving.
Well, that's encouraging. I punched my route into the phone here and it's telling me to avoid the Cross Bronx this morning.
Yeah, I use the Waze myself, the Waze, the Waze. It's pretty accurate, actually, surprisingly.
I switch between that and Google Maps, depending on my mood, but I have both. Although I think I heard that Google bought Waze, so that should be interesting.
The first accident of the day. Rammed into the guy from behind. Whoops. Not for me, somebody else.
Well, that's good. You never want to be a part of it. I've been lucky there for a number of years. In fact, other than a couple of ice skids into things, haven't really had accident with another vehicle about 6 years, 7 years. Got hit head-on up in the Peekskill area one morning. That wasn't fun.
Yeah, I was in on the Southern State Parkway. It was last year or the year before. And zipping along on the Southern State Parkway, you know, it opened up after, you know, bumper to bumper, and everything was going really good. All of a sudden, traffic came to a halt, the guy cut in front of me, and boom, I ran right into him.
It happens. I can remember years ago, I was a salesman on the road. I was up in the Albany area, and rear-ended a service master van at a traffic light. And basically what it was is, you know, the light turned green, everybody started to go, and I think he saw, it looked like someone was going to run the light on the cross street, or they did run the light, I can't remember, but whatever it was, he didn't go, and I didn't stop in time. I've had a few of them, but the head-on wasn't fun, and we both walked out of it, but that was the second time in my life I've had to deal with airbag deployment. That's always an experience.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing, I gotta say. Between the seatbelt and the airbag, I pretty much walked away unscathed from that. I probably hit him doing a good 25 miles an hour.
Well, my first airbag accident, I was going about 50. I don't know what speed I hit the guy at, but it wasn't much slower than 50 into the back end of a Jeep Cherokee. That was also upstate, but much further up, coming up over a blind hill in the morning, you know, with the sun, and there was a line of cars stopped, and I just could not stop in time. And I remember the trooper said he wouldn't write me a ticket because I was about the sixth or seventh person that year that had done the same thing, and they were trying to get the speed limit lowered and get warning signs put in, or at least have them shave the hill down. But it was just a really bad spot. I was driving a Dodge Neon at the time. This was probably 20 years ago. And I walked away from it, but I was sore for months. And I'm a big fan of airbags after that one.
Alright, I'm doing 25 miles an hour on the Cross Island. Heading north. Yeah, I hear you. You know, like you said, stuff happens. Well, it's just based off of the government was. Anyway, give me a good minute. I'll give it back to you.
That's alright. I'm not fully functioning yet. I did have coffee, though. Well, I can say the service master one was definitely my fault. But, yeah, that one up in Peekskill was not. We were on, is that there? Fairmount Parkway, I guess? Whatever the little parkway that runs between the Taconic and Route 9 is there. And at a traffic light in the left lane, and there was opposing traffic in their lanes, and the guy who was, I think, first in line just simply assumed that I was going left, even though I didn't have my turn signal on, and cut right across my path. So we kind of catty-cornered each other. So, and he totaled my Volkswagen Jetta, which I bought back for salvage and rebuilt with airbags and everything, and put it back on the road. And then I started to learn all the little things that go wrong with cars when they're in accidents that you don't think about just from the shock, especially an older car. And over the next couple of years, had to go back and go over a couple of those things, but I was kind of glad I was able to rebuild it. I liked that car.
You know what, Vic is? I had a guy, Phil, I carpooled with for 2 years, and she worked the same shift, and so I went to Steady Dave because I had enough seniority to move up now, and he's still on the off tour, so we're not able to carpool anymore. Today the first freaking thing, can you believe it? Rain, freaking, I got a kick in my neck, my hands numb, didn't sleep all last night. What a day to do this.
Oh, wow. I was out 3 days last week, and been starting to feel a little more normal. I'm not doing too bad this morning. My sinuses are acting up. I think this is going to be a really nasty allergy season.
Oh, it's wild weather? Oh, yeah, for sure. Definitely. So, are you going over the bridge, or are you continuing whatever it turns into?
I'm heading up over the bridge, and then I guess it's got me routed up the Hutz, the cross county, and then hop over to the Deegan all the way up the thruway. So about 130 odd miles I gotta go.
Alright, well, when you get close to the bridge, looks good. We're turning into the white zone. We're moving on a good pace to about 50 now.
Well, that's good. Sounds like you're headed towards the airport.
Yep, coming up on that 20 mile an hour bend. That's an interesting one. It hit me doing 40 or 50.
Oh, yeah. I think back on how my commute has changed over my working life. These days, you know, it's just a few miles in the car, and then I sit on the train every day. I can remember I drove for a living for a dozen years. It was just, you know, an old clunker to get 10 miles to where my truck was every morning. And then I was on the road. And then drove from Kingston to Poughkeepsie and back for many years when I finally got into computers. I don't know. Sometimes I miss driving, sometimes I don't. I don't think I would like a driving commute down here. I kind of appreciate the train sometimes. I think the worst commute I ever dealt with, though, was when I was first working in the city and still living upstate. That wasn't fun. It was a decent drive, and then a ridiculous train ride, and a pretty good walk.
Most of my jobs are pretty close to the house. I gotta say, the last one I had was about a 15-minute ride, no big deal. But now, I started having to go to out to Newark Airport. I was out there for 6 months, that was a fun time. Then they got me a little closer, and I was working at the Lincoln Tunnel. They got a little bit better. They worked at the EW. That was a fun one, walking the cables. That was a lovely one. And then finally I got out to Kennedy, and then they went over to LaGuardia. That's about as close as I'm going to get.
Oh, that makes sense. Well, at one point when I was taking Amtrak to work, I was working pretty close to Penn Station, so it wasn't too bad. And these days I work on the Upper East Side, which, until the Q train just opened, was a bit of a pain in the neck. It's one of the worst parts of Manhattan to have to get to every day.
I had a job working in a warehouse in Jamaica. Just take the train back and forth. That was nice. Had a nice nap on the way in, nice nap on the way home. Unfortunately, when you nap too long, you end up out down in, Fort Jefferson.
W2NDG Mobile. I've done that. didn't go as far as Port Jeff, but I definitely done that. Years ago, woke up in a somebody one night on the Amtrak. The conductor was very helpful, radioed ahead and found the Toronto run coming down was late, and was able to get them to, you know, look for me at the platform, you know, make sure that they grabbed me and did not charge me full fare back down. So I think I had to wait for about an hour. And then I think I ended up in Hudson one night, which is only one station off. And there's another time where one of the guys I had gotten friendly with, who did the same commute, had woken me up when we got to Rhinecliff. And he's like, "Hey, I let you sleep. It's Rhinecliff. You seem really tired." And I was like, "Well, that's great, Derek, but my car's in Poughkeepsie." And he realized that I had told him that, and he forgot, and he drove me to my car. But it's happened. On the Port Jeff line here, I've ended up in Kings Park and had to take a taxi all the way back. But other than that, I've been lucky. My internal clock seems to wake me up at the right moment.
That's pretty good. Yeah, so we can walk up in Kings Park, that'd be perfect for me. That's where I get off.
All right. Yeah, I'm in the Huntington area, right where all the car dealers are. We live almost next to the second precinct.
Yeah, I know where that is. My parents live over there. They're off of Little Plains Road.
Same general area. And we've moved around a few times. We've had some bad luck with landlords. I have not purchased a house here on Long Island because at some point I intend to go back upstate. Probably not as far up as I used to be. But I had some interesting times. The first place that we had together up in Northport was a fantastic apartment. It was almost half of a good-sized house with closets and two bathrooms and a laundry room, walking distance to the train, everything. But landlord got hit with zoning, and we had to leave. And it's a shame because he was a great landlord, too. And we had a couple of times where we rented places that ended up being in foreclosure and had to leave as the matter progressed. I made one of them work in my favor, though. It was an interesting situation. But then we finally settled on where we are now. This is a great house in a great location with a great landlord. And he's somewhat ham radio friendly. And just been a good situation. And it came at the right time because, you know, the kids grow up and they leave, and sometimes they come back. And sometimes more than one comes back at once.
Yeah, the apartment didn't work out well with us either. Just got married, had a nice second story apartment, nice windows overlooking the area. You know, the oak floors, you know, didn't have to do too much work to it. Just, you know, pretty much paint the place and put the blinds up and everything. All of a sudden, the landlord says, sorry to say, you have to get out. I'm like, what? He says, I'll give you your deposit back. He says, I'll give you this month's rent for free. He says, for my son, the knucklehead, just knock up this girl, and then we're going to leave the apartment for him.
Oh. Yeah, that first guy, he was very accommodating because the way the laws are written, they can get hit with serious fines if you're not out by a certain time. He was very helpful in getting us relocated. We had some really weird situations. One of my daughters took a job in Long Island, and so I offered her, you know, come live with us and save a little money, pay off your student loan. And then my oldest boy
also, you know, has a full-time job in the area now, came, decided to live with us instead of his father's family, and I've got one of the girls is still in high school. And what'll get interesting is if when my son is done with school, if he ends up doing any internships or work studies down this way, I'll have to make one more spot for him. So, but right now we have enough room for everybody.
Ah, very good. Well, coming up on my exit here, exit 5. So, we say 73 CNU. It's a pleasure talking to you. It's good to keep the company for a ride. And, as far as the radio works this far, I was too curious how my signal is. Everybody said I gotta turn up the gain a little bit. My audio's a little on the low side. Anyway, get to work doing where you gotta be, and it's a pleasure talking to you, and hope I'll catch you again. This will be Kevin, KC2, KXK, I'll be clear, 73 is on your final.
Thank you, sir. I didn't catch your name, but the name here is Neil. And yes, thanks for keeping me company this far. Come to a meeting sometime, you'll see me. Unless you do already, it's possible. But I'll be out and about all day. W2NDG Mobile will be listening. 73, have a good day.
Thanks, Neil. You too. And the name is Keith. And it's only the third time I've been on the radio in 3 years, 4 years. Yeah, I gotta rejoin my membership with my mom. Anyway, 73.
7-3, have a good one. W2NDG Mobile is listening. W2NDG Mobile, listening. W2NDG, K2IVX. I don't know if it's a W. K2NDG. Neil, are you out there still? Hello? W2NDG Mobile. NDG Mobile. W2NDG Mobile.
Radio repeater system.
Norway Victor 2 Tango JFK. Norway Victor 2 Tango JFK. Echo Link. NV-50, listening. NV-50, November Victor 2 Tango.
YSK, I hear you. Much clearer. Yeah, Bill was always talking about putting up his HF antenna and that was going to help him. Yeah, that's just bad. It would be nice if you'd do it for us. At least somebody got to use Bill's antenna. And I'm trying to keep his memory going.
The CW code just squashed your voice. Usually it's diminished when you're talking, but that time I can barely hear you. It was so loud.
I said it'll be good. It'll keep Bill's memory fresh that we're using his antenna or you're using his antenna. That was very nice of Pat.
I'm very much appreciative. And it's looking emotional when I think about Bill. So I should put a tag on it or something in memory of Bill. So I'm going to have a note someplace on the station.
Yeah, I do remember he was always talking about, yeah, well, when the summer comes, I mean, my brother's going to come over, we'll put up the antenna, and he just never got around to it, even when he was healthy. I don't know, things just got in the way. But, you know, I do miss talking to him on DMR, because I don't get to talk to Pat very often. It's usually too early for me, or I'm too late for him in the afternoon, so we usually miss each other.
I had the antenna book my son got me for a gift once, so I'm going to have to go in there and read up on how to mount it to the chimney. There must be a section in there somewhere that describes how to do that. Get these big brackets. There's a hat on the chimney, too, so these brackets are going to have to stick out from the chimney a little bit. I'm assuming it really doesn't matter what side of the chimney I put it on. Of course, the base of the antenna will be covered by the brick on one side. Maybe I should just point the whole thing on the west side.
I installed my vertical for 2 meters and 440. I did it on the side of the house, that's close to the peak. And I just got a couple of brackets from the store L&L Electronics in Syosset, and that worked fine.
The side I would put it would be where the chimney is, so any place on that side of the house would be fine, I guess. There's no height requirements for a vertical, I don't think, is there? Only dipoles?
Well, I think in any case, the higher up it is, the better the reception, you know, within limits. If you think about a tower, some people put a vertical at the top of a tower. But mostly it's a directional Yagi or something with the big booms that rotate. Yeah, I don't know. Chimney bands, they're pretty straightforward to put on as well. You know, you find them everywhere, anywhere in the catalog, MFJ and so forth. So just get one that fits and you should be good to go. The only thing is, your vertical will be a nice lightning attractor. So just make sure it's grounded well. Mine is not very tall, and I have a lot of trees taller, so, and it's fiberglass, so I'm not too concerned for lightning. But with a vertical like that, you've got to do a good ground.
So that, at the base of the chimney, behind it from the road, towards the backyard, there is a bar, looks like rebar, sticking out of the ground. So I'm wondering if somebody had a station there once before, unless it was just, unless they just grounded the houses when they built these houses. There's a rebar sticking out of the ground about 9 or 12 inches behind the chimney. I don't know, after 50, 60 years, it's completely disintegrated. I'll bang on it and shake it to see what the story is. Otherwise, I'll just go to a some place and pick up another 9-foot rebar and pounded into the ground.
If it's there, heck, use it, you know. Why not? Might as well make use of it. But, you know, it's always a good thing to do. Oh, this traffic is like, I'm going to be a little bit later than usual. Of course, it's raining, you know, so it's like people in rain or snow, they just panic and drive like it's rain or snow.
I'm making pretty good time. Coming up on Smithtown now. The only bottleneck is in Smithtown, because the construction was extended out east. And what you do, let me take the other lane. You can't take that lane. Track the trailer and a tanker in front of me. Wrong lane to be in.
And I know the construction's moving all the way out. I don't know where this was to end it, but definitely will be an improvement to the Smithtown bypass. Whatever. But we were driving back from the movie theater in Farmingdale along the railroad tracks, and they started the work for the third or the second rail line that's going in from Hicksville all the way up to Ronkonkoma, I think. And they've already put in the track bed, it looks like, on a good stretch of it, and redoing the road by Pine Lawn to make room. So I guess that project's well underway.
All these nice improvements our current administration is doing.
The railroad one was planned a couple of years back. I remember reading about it. I guess it takes them a while to get moving, you know, but they own the right of way there, so it's like they don't have to acquire the land. They always had enough land there to have a second rail. It's really annoying because during rush hour, trains only run in one direction, out. You know, very few trains run the other way. At least with the second line, second rail, they could still keep service going in both directions.
I didn't realize that. I thought they had two rails everywhere in both directions. That can be really annoying. That'll second rail will speed up the traffic a lot.
Yeah, east of Hicksville, it's just one line. Except when you get to a station, there's usually like a second line that branches off, you know, into your park. It's one line until it gets across Comac Road. And then it goes to two, and it goes back to one as it approaches Brentwood. So, this will definitely be a big improvement.
82 ESY. You mean that traffic in both directions has to share one set of rails?
That is correct. That's it. So, it looks like two lines at Deer Park, but you know, once it passes Comac Road headed west, it's a single rail until it gets to Hicksville. So, you know, occasionally when we want to go into the city, there's only one train that runs westbound during rush hour, and that's like at 5:30, and that's it. There's nothing else for like an hour in either direction, because they're all coming east.
Getting into the merge here, I'm going to squeeze. I'm in competition with this 18-wheeler, and we're stopped at the moment.
W-H-C-D-L.
W-H-C-D-L recognized. Good morning, Andy. How are you? Yeah, I'm in foggy Westbury here.
Yeah, good morning. Now you got two Andys. just wanted to ask, how you doing? I wanted to ask the other Andy if I could call him on the phone.
Yeah, sure. Good morning. I hope your weekend went well. My phone is active. You got the number, right?
Yep, I will call you in a few, WHCDL. All right, thanks. Let me do that now.
I'm going to sign out, guys. I'm here anyway, so this worked out timing-wise well. So have a great day. We'll catch you all later. KC2.